You may be seated this morning. What a great song. The band always does such a great job in leading us to worship Him. I'm so thankful for them. Well, my name is Rick. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so glad today I get to speak and wrap up this whole teaching series that we've been in called A Giants, which has been focused on the life of David. And it's been centered around the story of David and Goliath, and when he did, when they did battle one with the other. And here in this story, what we have been asking you all along the way is that, because we know that David defeated Goliath, but what we've been asking you, as you face and look at the giants that are in your life, because remember, we've been saying this all along, that it doesn't matter how old you are. You can be the youngest person in this room or the oldest person and anyone in between. We all face giants in our life. And our goal through this teaching series has been to help us to understand that it is not to see ourselves as David in the story of David and Goliath, but to help us in our own life, but to help us to see ourselves, or to see Jesus as of the David in the story of our life. And it's Him who takes out the giant in our life. And so we hope that you're able to hold on to that truth, because we know that Jesus will be the one who enables you to overcome whatever giant that you are facing. And specifically this morning, we are looking at this giant, the giant of instant gratification. The giant of instant gratification. And so first, let's just make sure that we're all on the same page for definition. And so here's how I'm defining it this morning. It's the desire to experience pleasure without delay, or it's the desire to experience fulfillment without delay. So, you know, and who in this room, come on now, if you're honest, right? If you're honest, who in this room does this not apply to? It's like all of us, because we all wish we had that job or that career, and we all wish that we could hurry up and get there, and we wish we could have it without delay. We wish we could have that grade without delay, don't we? Come on, you know that you would want to be able to go home with that 4.0, you know, and you want it without delay. You want it like right now. And you want that relationship. Some of you are so desiring a relationship with somebody, and you want it without delay, because you are just like me. It's in me. That's in me to want these things. Basically, here's what we're saying is, I want it, and I want it now. You know, that's this idea of instant gratification. And here's the thing, our culture that we live in today especially feeds into this. This idea of wanting it and wanting it now. And I want to be clear on this. I'm not saying that that in particular is a bad thing, because how many of you remember this in the day, right? There's a whole generation. Hey, there's a whole generation of people in this room that have no idea what that is. But that's, we used to dial up on our computers, right, to try and get online and do that. So I'm so thankful for high speed internet. You know, I'm so thankful I don't care who your carrier is. This is the only image I could find. But you know, high speed. When I come into the office, I don't know, this like building, my office, I guess, is like with my computer just like demon possessed. It acts up all the time. And I try and do some research, and like my wheels start spinning. Don't you hate that? It's like, but sometimes when you get connected, though, it's just like you're flying, and you want it, and you want it now. But there's a generation of people that have no idea what it's like to live without a microwave. They had no idea that you used to at one time have to boil water on a stove, that you couldn't put it in a cup and stick it in there, and in a minute and 5 seconds, you could come out and be like boiling hot. You can put your tea bag in there, and you're all set, right? I just found out about this. Zoe was telling me about these things, and she got one for her birthday last week. An instant pot. Have you ever? She's like telling me about this. She's like, Rick, we don't even have to thaw out our chicken anymore. We just stick it right in that thing, frozen. She like types in whatever she's going to type in onto that thing, and then like poof, you know, it unfolds it and cooks it, and you add whatever you want to. So it's like, it's called Instant Pot, you know. And again, none of this stuff is bad, but who doesn't love Amazon Prime? Come on now, right? Come on, that's how we do our shopping. When we want it, and we want it in 2 days. But you know, Amazon is developing, as you know, they're trying to get to this one day, same day delivery. And in some larger cities, they have same day delivery where you can go on the same day and boom, it shows up at your doorstep. In Boston right now, it's called Amazon Prime Now. In 2 hours, you can have it at your doorstep. And certain items in 2 hours, if you live in Boston and other certain major metropolitan cities, in 2 hours, I mean, and all that stuff is cool. And I'm not saying there's anything bad about this, all right? But here's what we got to be careful of. Here's in the Boston Globe recently, I came across this article online. And here's what the Boston Globe claims. It says that our demand for instant results is seeping into every corner of our lives. The need for instant gratification is not new, but our expectation of instant has become faster. The article goes on to say this. Retailers are jumping into same-day delivery services. Smartphone apps eliminate the wait for a cab, a date, or a table at a hot restaurant. Movies and TV shows begin streaming in seconds. I mean, you stop and think about that. Remember Blockbuster, where you had to actually go rent something and drive all the way there, drive all the way back, you know? But now you can do this instantly on our phones of all places, right? But here's what they say. But experts caution that instant gratification comes at a price. It's making us less patient. We've come to expect things so quickly that researchers found people can't wait more than a few seconds for a video to load. One researcher examined the viewing habits of 6.7 million internet users, and here was what they were looking. How long were subjects willing to be patient? 2 seconds. 2 seconds after that, they started abandoning the website. After 5 seconds, the abandonment rate went up by 25%. When you get to 10 seconds, half of the 6.7 million people, half of them just leave the whole website. 10 seconds. You see what our culture feeds into us, that it's about right now. And if we're not careful, here's the danger part, that this will play into our lives and how we live our life. And that's dangerous because there is faith. Please hear this. Faith is a process. It doesn't happen immediately. To grow and mature, some people, let's say you don't even have faith. You're here this morning and you don't even have faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. This even applies to you, because some people want to instantly mature. They want to instantly jump from where they are to, you know, a life stage. Let's say if you're in your teens, you want to instantly jump to 25. You want to be like 25 all of a sudden. And we want to somehow figure out how do we get there and how can we skip the process in between. And people of faith do the same thing with their faith. We want to skip the process. But here's the reality. The reality is this, is there is no instant grow me device. That's the reality. There's no instant grow me, no instant pot, you know, that we can put ourselves into, push the button, and out we come mature, or out we come having all that we need. Because here's why. Our life is a process, and God's desire is to grow us through the process. And again, this is applicable even if you don't have faith. I was just talking to a business leader, and they were telling me they're responsible for hundreds of employees. And as he looks out and he's looking to see who is he going to promote, who's going to become the next, you know, supervisor, manager, or whatever, department head, as he's processing all of this, he thinks about where are they in the process. Because something that he has concluded is that you cannot take somebody, let's say that they're at if there's 10 levels, if they're at a level 5 right now, and he's wanting to bump them up, he can't just jump over this level 6, 7, and 8 and put them in a level 9 position. Because he says, there's something that I've realized over time in watching people, if you skip over the process, They miss out on the developing themselves as a person. And once you get to a level nine, you can't go backwards. He says, there's something about people that they have promoted. They've lost something, and eventually it hurts them as a person. And I submit to you this morning that the same thing is true in our faith. You cannot skip a level of the process. And man, if you're wired like me, I want to skip a lot of levels. You know, did you ever go to school with that guy that got to like test out and you test out of a whole grade? I mean, there was a kid in my elementary public school when he tested out of, I think it was the third grade, and he got to bump up. And I'm like so jealous of him. But you know what? There's something about still going through the process of that that develops you as a person. And maybe, you're here today and you are just wishing and hoping that you could just hurry up and get to the next level. And this morning, what we'll discover right here in our passage, right here in our text, in 1 Samuel chapter 24, that's where I want you to go in your Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter 24. So everybody, take out your Bibles. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 24 and let's look into here in the life of David, this idea of him discovering that it is all about the process, and it's about what God is teaching us. So the context here, keep in mind that David has been on the run now for not weeks, not months, but years, all right? And we don't know for sure how long he's been on the run at this point. It could have been around 8 years, 10 years. We're not for sure. It's hard to pinpoint the date, but we know it's multiple years that he has been on the run. He's been on the run from King Saul. King Saul is chasing him, trying to take him out. King Saul feels threatened by him. And so every once in a while, Saul gets sidetracked because of what's happening as he's trying to rule his people. And here, what's happened is in chapter 24, verse number 1, it says, after Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of En-Gedi. And here's what he does. So Saul chooses 3,000 elite troops. If you looked a couple of chapters back, you would see he did the same thing before, that he found 3,000 troops and he goes and try and finds David. Here again, he goes and gets 3,000 elite troops. At this point in David's life, David's got about 600 men that are following him and connecting with him. And so you've got like a 5-1 ratio because Saul really wants David to be taken out. And he went on a search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. And at the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. Don't you love the details of the Bible, right? Isn't this great? He had to go to the bathroom. And so he obviously leaves all these men out. And, you know, when you walk into a dark cave and you don't know how deep it is, if you're just got to go to the bathroom, you just go in far enough, you know, to do your business. And that's what he's doing. And he's in there going to the bathroom. But as it happened, you know, coincidentally, are there coincidences with God? Probably not. In fact, I'd say, no, there's not. God works everything out for a plan and for a purpose. But look, out of all these little caves that were in this wilderness of En-Gedi, he decides to choose the very one that David and some of his men are hiding in there. And there they are, all the way in the very back, in the darkness of the cave, maybe hiding around a little curve or a corner or something. And here's what happens. Now, your opportunity. This is David's men whispering to him, David, that's Saul. Man, he's got his robe down. He is off. You talk about vulnerable. You know, he's vulnerable, right? You're never more vulnerable than when you're going to the bathroom. Don't you hate it when the kids come and pound on the door when you're in the bathroom? You're like, leave me alone. You know, he is very vulnerable. And here it's very, if you're a man of war, you're like, dude, I could take him out with my eyes closed. And all his friends are saying, are whispering to him, now's your chance. And then it's just not what they think. It's they're using God. They're saying, today the Lord is telling you. You know, all of a sudden these friends start to feel like they hear the voice of God for their friend. And they start telling, they're quoting, you know, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with you as you wish. And David, well, first let's ask this question. Why is this in their mind? why is this in the mind of their friends? It's because his friends, those 600 men, they know about 1 Samuel 16. They remember, they have heard the story when the priest Samuel went to anoint David as a king as a teenager of about 15 years old. They remember hearing this, and this is what God said. This is the one. He says that to Samuel, and anoint him, meaning David, anoint David as king. And so as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of oil. This is the priest. Samuel took the flask of oil that he had brought and anointed David with the oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him powerfully from that day on. So it's this whole idea that these guys knew that David was supposed to be the king, and they thought, now is your opportunity. That's the voices that was feeding into him. And so David creeps forward, right? Is very sneaky, gets up there, and as whether it was a dagger, a sword, a spear, who knows what it is, but whatever it was, we know that he pinned it into Saul's robe. Now that wasn't by accident, because there was this turmoil going on inside of David. Listen to this other voice that he's hearing. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. Here's the voice of our conscience. You know, God has given us a conscience. God has given every person a conscience. And then if you're a Christ follower, he's given you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes inside. He lives inside of us. And sometimes we feel like, oh, this is what God is wanting me to do. And this is the place where David's at. All of his friends are telling him, take him out now. And as he starts to give in to the whispers, if you will, of his circle of influence, he pauses long enough to hear the voice of God. No. Should I be doing this? So here's my first thought about this. How do we do battle again? How do we battle the giant of instant gratification? Listen to the right voices. We've got to listen to the right voices. And there will be people who will come to you and they will tell you, I think God wants you to do X, Y, and Z. That's what they're going to tell you. And you know what? We have to take that. We have to listen to that. But that cannot trump God's word and whatever God is telling you. We have to pause long enough to grab a hold of God's word and say, God, but what are you saying to me? I can't tell you how many times people have told me, well, man, it seems like this is what God wants you to do. But God didn't tell me yet. He didn't tell that to me. I was faced with a major decision years before I even came to this church. I was faced with a major decision, and people were telling me, I think God wants you to do this, Rick. In fact, one guy said, I will write a check to buy, there's this church building that's for sale. I will buy the church building for you because we want you to stay here and we want you to do this over here at this church and just start a new church. But inside, I was like, I'm not hearing that from God. I did not have the confidence that's what God was calling me to do. And in fact, I felt like what that would end up doing is splitting that church. And so I said, no, I just couldn't do that. And so, and these were good people who loved God. And in your life, you're going to be called to make some decisions, some tough decisions that he is calling you to make. If we're going to get over this battle of instant gratification, because, hey, listen to me. I know if you're in your 20s, I know what it's like to wish you were there. I spent my whole 20 years, my life in my 20s, I spent that wishing I was there. And I remember getting another phone call when I'm in college. I hadn't finished college yet. And there's this pastor saying, hey, man, why don't you just come and work for me down here in Lexington, Kentucky, and and you can just finish your schooling down here. And my wife is like, no, not a good idea. And I'm like, yes, it is. It's a great idea, man. I can give, my heart had always been, my passion has always been to be able to be vocational ministry. And there's just something in me about that. And I'm telling Zoe, yes, this is it. We're, man, I'm praying crazy kinds of prayers and God's not answering any of those. And here I am. And so the answer was, I said, okay, I guess God is speaking to my, because he wasn't speaking to me. It was dead. It was like crickets. And he was speaking to me through my wife. And we didn't end up going, and it's a good thing. Because within a couple of years, that church imploded in itself. And I would have been in the middle of all that mess. I didn't want to trust the process that God was taking me through to finish my schooling, to finish college first. And then, in God's timing, he'll move me. And that's something that, and that as this gets more and more ingrained into us, is that we've got to have it. We want it now. Why can't we have it now? Why can't we have that house now? Why can't I drive that car now? Why can't I have that, you know, whatever it is in your life? Why can't you have it now? Because there's this process, and God's trying to teach us through the process. Don't short circuit your process. Here's the second thing. How do we do battle against the giant of instant gratification? We've got to trust the process as God's plan for your life. Will you trust? Will you put your faith in God that he really is working this out? And this is God's plan for your life. Even when it's a big fat no. When it's out, no, you're not doing that. You're not going there. You're not getting that. Can you just trust? Can you put your faith in that this is God's plan for you right now, even when it's uncomfortable? But you're like, Rick, you don't know how long this has been. This has been months. Hey, David was running for at least 7, 8 years, maybe 10, who knows how long. He's running for years. This was happening in his life. And yet, he's trusting the process. You say, how do you know that? Watch this. Here's what he tells these men. After they've whispered into him, he says, the Lord forbid that I should do this to my Lord, the king. There was something in David who realized that God is the one who set King Saul up at the appropriate time. And it will be God in his appropriate time who takes one person down and puts another person up. And because of that, because it directly affected David, because he was going to be that next person, here's what he said. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. And so David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. There's something about the process that we have to do this. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans 13. This is something that we need to have woven into the DNA of who we are as Christ followers. It says everyone must submit to the governing authorities. And then listen to what he says. For all authority comes from God. Just stop right there. All authority comes from God. Do you mean that teacher was placed there by God in my life? Yeah, I know that's hard. I know it's hard to hear. But you're like, Rick, you don't know. They don't know how to teach. I know they don't know how to teach. They went to school, got a degree for all that. And I know that you're in seventh grade and you think you could do their job. I understand all that. But let's just trust the process. Right? Let's trust the process. All authority comes from God. You mean that my boss? That authority comes from God in my life. He doesn't know how to manage people. That manager, the supervisor that you put over me, come on. Paul said, all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. And when we are willing to submit to God's plan for our life, it makes this process easier for us to receive what Jesus is trying to teach us. Because in the process, he's trying to grow you. In the Here's at the very least, when I found myself in these types of places, I've been at the very least, when I walk away, I at least I know what not to do if I ever get into that role. And that's a question that I start asking myself. God, what are you trying to teach me here? Okay, maybe in this case, you're trying to teach me of what not to do. I'll make sure I don't make that mistake if I'm ever put in this type of a role. This is something for Christ followers. We have to hold on to this. Now, let me just pause long enough, given All that's going on with the way that some bosses, especially men, are taking advantage of women. I'm not talking about that. If there is somebody taking advantage of you as a lady, you need to report that. You need to get it out to the authorities right away. So I'm not talking, they were not placed there to do that to you for that reason, all right? So I want to be clear about that. That did not come from God, and you need to make sure that you report them. But here's how we can fight this battle of instant gratification. We need to listen to the right voices. We need to trust the process as God's plan for your life. And we need to act on the faith that you say that you have. And that's exactly what David did. Notice as this continued to happen, Saul left the cave. He gets out a safe distance where Saul comes out at the top of the cave. They start having this conversation. And this is part of the conversation. It says, "May the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you." This is David talking to Saul. And notice what he's doing. David already understands. He's putting his faith in the process that God has put here. And let his faith is going to act. God is going to be the judge between you and I. I'm not going to be the judge. That's what he's saying. And then he says, "Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you're trying to do to me. But I will never harm you." He goes on, the conversation goes on to say in verse 15, "May the Lord therefore judge between which of us is right and punish the guilty one." And I love that. But then because now look what he says. His faith is in action. He says, "He is my advocate." He understands that God will advocate for him, and he, meaning God, will rescue me from your power, as he's talking to God, the guy who is in charge, who has the authority. And so here's his end result. And so David promised this to Saul with an oath. Then Saul went home, but David and his men went back to their stronghold. They went back to fortify themselves, to embrace them in case there was another attack. That's David putting his faith into action. And we have to act on the faith that we say that we have. Will you take out your connection card and out of your bulletin? Will you grab the connection card out of the inside of your bulletin? And let's just walk through this real quick. The very first next step is this: pray that I will stop looking for shortcuts and trust God that the process is teaching and growing me as a follower of His. You may find yourself right in the middle of whatever it is, and you just want it to be over. Will you just say, "Rick, will you pray for us on Tuesday as we gather? Will you say, Rick, pray for us? Will your team pray for us? Pray that God will see me through, and that I will learn everything that God is trying to teach me through this process, and that I'll quit looking for the shortcut and to see how I can bypass the process." Man, if that's where you're at, we want to pray for you this morning. And as we wrap up this whole teaching series on giants, this is for you. Will you say, pray for me that I will trust Jesus to take out the giant of, and then it's blank on your connection card. And the reason it's blank, I want you to think back past this, the past 6 weeks as we've been talking about giants. And I want you to think about what is the giant that God has revealed to you that is in your life. And you need to name it specifically. You know, naming the giant is such a helpful step. Because on Tuesday, again, our team wants to get together, and we want to pray that specifically that you will have victory over this giant this particular week. So on Tuesday, man, at 9 o'clock when we are praying, we're praying that God would help you to conquer. Whether it's Tuesday, Wednesday, that it would happen someday this week in your life. Well, that's what we'll be praying on Tuesday morning. But if you're here and you're like, "I just don't know about the whole faith thing yet, Rick. You keep on talking about putting your faith and your trust in Jesus. Maybe this is where you're at. I have not yet put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior." But, hey, would you be willing to have a conversation with somebody? And if you leave your name and your phone number, we will call you and we'll connect with you. And we would love to talk with you about where are you putting your faith in? Or what's keeping you? What's holding you back from putting your faith and your trust in Jesus as your Savior? As we close out this whole giant series, I want us to be reminded this morning of Joshua. And remember when Joshua was taking the people out of the wilderness, when he took over, he transitioned into leadership, and then they cross the river, the Jordan River, and then they come right up against Jericho. This fortified city with impossible walls to try and break through. Remember this, that God told them to march around it for 7 days. But then on the seventh day, I want you to do something different. And here's what he says. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. So just envision that, you know, day one, day two, day three, day six. What if they would have stopped on day six? What if they wouldn't have got to day seven? And I wonder what it is like for you and whatever giant that you are battling. Don't stop battling but this time when they went around the town, they went around seven times instead of once. On this seventh day, they walked around that seven times. And the seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the town." And when the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. And suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. And this morning, here's what I'm saying to you. Man, you may be on your seventh day. You may be on your seventh lap. And I want to encourage you, don't give up. Keep on marching. Keep on doing what God has called you to do. Quit looking for shortcuts and let God bring down whatever giant that you are facing. Will you stand with me this morning? And we're going to sing this song. The band's going to lead us in this song, and will you sing it as a prayer? I'm not even going to close with a prayer this morning. I want you to sing this song as a prayer back to God. And in your mind, I want you to envision whatever it is that you need to have conquered, that God will bring you, that He'll do it again. That He will do what He did in the life of Israel, that He'll do it again in your life and in this church. And Jesus, we need you.